This episode is brought to you by Trader's Point Creamery, an organic, 100% grass-fed dairy farm, creamery, and restaurant located right here in Indianapolis. By farming in harmony with the land and animals, they craft delicious products to nourish your health. They also offer a farm-to-table experience at their restaurant, dairy bar, and store. Visit their farm store or find their organic, 100% grass-fed products packaged in glass at a store near you. It's A Couple Cooks, the podcast with Sonia and Alex Overheiser. We're a couple on a mission to find the tastiest, good-for-you eats you can make in your kitchen, because the way we eat can make a meaningful difference.
Join us as we chase after real good food through stories, recipes, and conversations about cooking at home and eating well. Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
I'm Sonia.
And I'm Alex.
And we're married, we love to cook, and we started this podcast to inspire you to get in your kitchen. So last episode, we talked about failure stories, because getting in your kitchen also involves failure. And we got some really great responses from some of you about some pretty hilarious failures you've had. We wanted to share a couple. One of them is from Daniela. She said that she was making gnocchi, and she decided to put some pancetta on top, which is bacon, basically bacon. And she didn't know that you had to cook it. So she just put raw pancetta on top of her gnocchi. And it was pretty bad.
But for sharing that failure, I believe that Daniela won a copy of Martha's cookbook. So worth it, I suppose.
That's right. She got a copy of Twist, the cookbook from Martha Collison on our last episode, who was a quarterfinalist in the Great British Baking Show. She was so lovely. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure to check it out. So my other favorite failure story was from Kate. She said she was making a stuffed manicotti recipe with sausage and leeks, and she'd never cooked with leeks. If you have ever cooked with leeks, you know that they're kind of dirty. There's a lot of layers in the leek where soil and dirt can build up, and usually you have to clean them pretty well. Well, Kate didn't know this, and she just threw her leek in without cleaning it, and it sounds like there was crunchiness in every bite, which sounds so disgusting. And it also reminded me of a similar failure that Alex and I had in the kitchen, where we tried to clean our spinach but didn't properly do it, put it into some pasta, and it was sand in every bite, just like crunching down sand. It was so disgusting. So that's kind of seared in my memory.
I'm not sure what's wrong with you that you enjoy these failure stories so much.
I think it's just inspiring because you learn your lesson and then you never forget to clean your leek again. All right. Well, thank you again to all of you for sharing your kitchen failure stories. I'm sure we'll talk about this more in future episodes, but it was very fun to hear from all of you. Now on to today's episode, which is centered around dairy. You may have heard terms like organic and grass-fed and what else? USDA certified and all sorts of different terms relating to
hormone free,
right? Relating to yogurt and milk and other dairy products. And we know that that can be kind of confusing. We've been confused by that in the past, and we wanted to delve a little bit more into what is organic dairy, what is grass-fed dairy, why is it important, what kind of terms do we need to know when we're at the grocery buying dairy.
So we found Trader's Point Creamery here in Indianapolis, and we put on our investigative journalist hat and asked all the tough questions to find out what makes organic dairy different from your conventional milk that you might find in the grocery store.
We also met a lot of cows and tasted some very delicious cheese and ice cream. So stay tuned for that. For this week's recipes, we wanted to share with you some fun summer recipes that also involve a little bit of cheese. So first up is Greek salad, which is one of our favorite things to eat in the summer.
It is inspired by Greece, of course, since it's Greek salad, and it's a good use for all those cucumbers that are still coming out of our garden, and it's the type of recipe that really can't be more simple.
Right. It really highlights the beauty of the ingredients. So it just takes tomatoes, cucumbers, some Kalamata olives, which are very salty and briny. Got some red onion in there, and then some feta cheese, which if you can get a hold of some Greek origin feta or some very high quality feta, crumble that over your dish. And we put some kosher salt, capers in ours, which are optional, and some olive oil, white wine vinegar, a little bit of oregano, and it's the perfect summer dish.
And we found that this recipe tastes best if you're sitting on a patio in Santorini. So hop on a plane and go rent yourself a house in Santorini and it will taste delicious.
I'll put a link to our pictures from Santorini in the show notes as well. So you can, if you can't make it to Santorini, you can at least look at some pictures of Santorini while you eat your Greek salad.
Maybe a virtual reality experience.
All right. The other recipe we wanted to highlight today is a roasted tomato basil grilled cheese, which is perfect for this season where we have all sorts of tomatoes and a ton of basil outside. What we've done here is roasted those cherry tomatoes. So we put them in the oven at 400 for about 15 minutes. And then we smashed them and strained the juice out, put it in some mayonnaise, which really amps up that tomato flavor.
If you've never done roasted cherry tomatoes like this, imagine something between fresh garden tomatoes and sun-dried tomatoes. This really intense flavor that's fresh and kind of earthy and deep at the same time.
So put that on a sandwich with some very high quality cheese. When we do grilled cheese, we like to actually shred our cheese just to get the cheese all gooey and having some good coverage, and then grill it up like a grilled cheese, and it is super delicious. Very summery. And now, without further ado, we will take you to the organic dairy farm of Trader's Point Creamery, where you'll meet some cows, some frozen yogurt, some cheese, and an expert on what it means to eat organic grass-fed dairy. We start out at the dairy bar. Here you go. All right, so we're down here by the dairy bar, which just sounds like so much fun. A dairy bar. I mean, come on. And I'm going to sample this frozen yogurt. That is so good. I love it. This is so delicious. It's really tangy and refreshing. We're kind of very sweaty out here. It's very humid. And this is the perfect refreshing treat. All right, well, I am here at Trader's Point Creamery with Justin Armstrong. And Justin, what's your role here at the creamery?
So I oversee all the products, all of our business administration. I oversee basically the business.
So basically you eat lots of cheese and ice cream all day?
Exactly, and washed down with a glass of cold milk.
But really, are there people who are taste testers of the dairy?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's one of the fun kind of morale boosting gatherings we have, especially when we have new products and experiments. So we'll gather around and we'll all taste them.
Well, you should invite a couple cooks next time.
Oh, we'd love for you to. You know, it's funny. There's really a lot of sound science behind sensory evaluations. I mean, there's books 18 inches thick on the subject and classes in college for it. So we've all gotten educated on what to look for. It's a lot of fun, and I recommend you go try a class. You'll enjoy it.
All right, to-do list item.
So we are, I'll describe the farm here a bit for our listeners who aren't from Indianapolis. It's a bit of an Indianapolis landmark, but we're just on the outskirts of town. And how many acres do we have here?
So we're sitting roughly around 325 acres that make up the grazing lands of our farm.
So your operation here is organic. Can you tell us what makes organic different from standard production of dairy?
Yes, well, and I'll preface it a little bit. We're 100% grass-fed and organic. And so, it's a combination that's even rarer. But the long and short of it, we use no antibiotics. There's no pesticides, herbicides, basically no synthetics used on the farm whatsoever. We use homeopathic remedies. We graze, use rotational grazing. It is an intense management system, and we do use technology. We just don't use synthetic inputs or synthetic cures for our herd.
So it sounds like it's better for the environment, better for the cows. Is it better for the eater as well?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my big my big turning point in looking at organic agriculture actually happened on this farm back in 2003, and the herd got into a stand of wild garlic. And when they went into the milking house and were milked that evening, I happened to be there for that, and the whole place smelled like garlic. So, true story, right? So I'm thinking to myself, if they can just eat some wild garlic, and I'm actually able to tell those results were in the milk just in that day, then, oh my God, what have I been putting into my body? And that's when I made a firm commitment to move forward with organics.
Wow, that's really powerful. Plus, I'm a huge garlic fan, so I think I would be definitely okay with that garlic-flavored milk.
And there's a market for that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I tried it as a fan of garlic as well, and I'll make sure you get as much as you want next time. You can have my share.
So I have to say, I tried your organic grass-fed whole milk a few years ago. It has the creamy head on the top, and it's just absolutely delicious. You have that on a bowl of granola, and it's almost like dessert. You feel guilty for eating it, even though it's good for you.
Yeah. It's lovely. I love seeing people drink it. It's funny when I run across my conventional agricultural friends, and I have many of them, you know, they always give me a hard time. And the quote I always hear is, I drank that milk my whole life, and, you know, I was just fine. And I always laugh back at them and say, no, you drank this milk, and I point to ours and say, that's the milk you drank and you turned out just fine. You didn't drink that stuff you're drinking now because it wasn't available. And unfortunately for us, now it's prevalent.
And I think it's interesting, as a culture, we're learning that we don't have to be scared of fats, but we also shouldn't embrace all fats equally, that these grass-fed, all-natural dairy products are much better for us than the same thing on the shelf in the store that's not made with such care.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think fats are delicate and they can be damaged within the process. And I do think being unhomogenized is one of the key components of our milk that makes it absolutely more healthier, arguably the healthiest on the market. And so we're very proud of that. It's just a pleasure to watch people enjoy the best you can give them.
And can you explain for our listeners and maybe myself what homogenize means?
Yeah, so, well, you know, earlier we talked about the cream rising to the top, right? Well, what happens is in the dairy industry, there's a standardization of your milk. So let's say you get a 4.0 butterfat. They'll actually separate the cream from the milk and then recombine it at a 3.7 rate if it's whole milk, or less if you're doing 2% or skim, right? So they actually are separating that milk out and then putting it back together. And as they homogenize it, you know, they're making the cream soluble within the milk. And of course, to do that, what you're doing is you're breaking down those fats. I think it's a large part of or contributor in any way to lactose intolerance rise in the country. So the unhomogenized, you're getting those fats in full strand effect, which your body then is able to absorb in a manner that doesn't make your belly hurt, but also gives you full value out of the nutrients of that milk. So.
And you mentioned to me a little bit earlier about some lactose intolerant people being able to consume your dairy because of that fact.
Yeah, I can't tell you that that's the case according to this rule or that rule. And, you know, if we followed the rules everybody told us about, we would never have started this farm, right? But yeah, I think, and I'm seeing more and more literature about it, more and more claims about it. Certainly grass-fed, unhomogenized milk gets quite a good play in paleo diets these days, so I'm happy to see that. We have many customers that aren't able to drink other milks that are able to drink ours.
So as a consumer, it can be a little bit confusing out there to know
what type of dairy I should buy if I want to buy high quality dairy. What words should I look for? Should I look for grass fed, organic?
You know, it is absolutely tricky. And there's 50,000 certifications, non-GMO, this, that, the other. If I signed up for all the certifications, I wouldn't have any room for my label on our bottles. And so we kind of shun those. I think what you really want to look for, though, at the end of the day on milk is 100% grass-fed, USDA certified organic and unhomogenized. And there's a couple other brands out there that I'll let you go discover on your own if you can't find Trader's Point Creamery. But I would look for those three things. Do not buy pasture just because it says pasture. Grass-fed in and of itself, I see a lot of grass-fed on labels, but it's not 100% grass-fed. We know the effects on the product is negated even with one feeding of grains. So you might as well just buy non-grass-fed milk if you're going to fall for that stuff.
So you are a business, but you also seem to have a community mindset here at Trader's Point Creamery. Just while we were in looking at the cows, we ran into a few different families that were showing their young children around, and you have a farm-to-table restaurant on site. You have Friday night, Fridays on the farm. What drives that community aspect for you? Is it sales, or is there just a natural aspect that you want to reach out?
No, it's mission. Being a business somehow along the line meant that you were all about a bottom line of dollars and cents. And I think the sustainability part of our mission really looks at those dollars and cents, right? If you're not making money, if you're not able to invest back in the company, especially in an industry where you always are looking at new technologies, new equipment, it's often misunderstood. Organics, something that they did 100 years ago. And yeah, there's traditions to that, but we blend technology into that tradition. But the other part of our mission is to reconnect people to farms and to educate. And so for us, that means opening a restaurant where they can get a good, honest to goodness, right off our farm, right onto the table in front of them meal that tastes really good. You know, that's important. It's got to taste good, or this is all a bunch of fluff. But we invite them to our home. We ask them to break bread with us in our restaurant. They're able to, for the most part, unfettered, walk through our farm into where we milk, out into the pastures where the cows are grazing. We're not afraid of anything. We treat our animals well. They live a full life. So we're not afraid of anything.
So the Food Inc. Documentarians aren't going to find anything good here.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, there's always somebody that'll find something, so I'm not throwing out a challenge flag to that group, thanks. But yeah, we got nothing to be afraid of. Our core values are to stay rooted, to always be transparent, and so this is just that coming to life. And you're right, all the time there's people coming out here and they get to see calves that are not cooped up into a hutch. You know, we can see one right out the window here drinking from her mother. You won't see that on another dairy farm, you know, or a big, huge conventional dairy farm. And that's what it's all about. So yeah, it's to educate. And if they buy our products along the way, then that's wonderful. If they don't, I think it's still wonderful. I think they still saw the way we produce. And somewhere down the road, I imagine that seed will take root and they'll make the decision that the three of us have made.
I love that not only is it good for the community, environment, your health, but it's also delicious to consume organic dairy. So speaking of delicious, a cheese plate just arrived magically. And we're going to go ahead and try some of this delicious cheese made here at Trader's Point Creamery.
And up first, I think you have something special for us.
Yeah, I do. So this cheese has not been released yet. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and I'll share it with you at full value. How's that? What you're about to taste has only been shared just with a few internal people. It's been aging 6 months. And so over the winter, we developed and made these big, huge 25-pound wheels of a cloth-bound cheddar. And so what we've done is we've wrapped this cheddar in cloth and then rubbed it with our own butter to keep it moist inside. And so this is a very sophisticated cheddar that's just come of age, really. And if you come back here in 25 years, I bet I'll have two wheels of this to sell to you then, too. Be for a lot more money, I'll tell you, but hopefully with a very more developed flavor. So this is brand new, never come out of Trader's Point Creamery like this. And we're looking forward to sharing it with people probably for the next 3 or 4 months while it lasts, because it was made on winter milk, which is lends itself to a real rich and nutty flavored cheese.
Well, we are honored to try it. Wow, it's sharp and buttery, just kind of melts in your mouth.
Yes. So the rub of the butter is not a gimmick. It's actually a classic way to make these cloth bounds. And so we're really experimenting again, tradition and technology. And so we're really starting to, after 13 years, really come into our own and build on the success of our Fleur, which is a Gouda style that has won some awards, and start to develop some of these additional cheeses. And I'm excited for Indianapolis and for Indiana to have something like this that we can put on the mark as a community. I mean, that's a really cool story, and it's not about us. I mean, at the end of the day, our CEO is the cows.
So is your cheesemaker a Hoosier, or did you have to import one from France?
No, he is a Hoosier. Although, interesting story, the gentleman who helped get everything started in our processing actually was from the Netherlands. So,
remind me what this cheese is called again.
So, okay, first time I've said the name in public, right? This is our Sheets Creek Cheddar, and it's a butter-rubbed, cloth-bound aged cheddar.
All right, you heard it here first on the A Couple Cooks podcast.
So you don't have to answer this question, but we're big on learning through failure. Have there been any big bombs here at the farm?
You mean today? Yeah, sure. You always have bombs. If you got to be daring. Let's see, what would be a big bomb? Cheese is, there's always a bomb on cheese. If the milk's not quite right, you'll look inside your cheese cave when you go home at night and it'll be absolutely beautiful. And you'll come back in the morning and every wheel you made the day before will be puffed out and cracked, and we call it blowing. So you'll have blown a whole cheese. So it, yeah.
Overnight. It happened like that.
So there's a fine line between funky good and funky.
Yeah. Always, not just with cheese, I've come to find.
Well, this has been so much fun. For our listeners who may not be located in Indiana, can they find Trader's Point products?
Absolutely. We're distributed nationally, and we've made it very simple. They can go to our website and use our great locator, and we'll tell you what products are near you. And if there's not products near you or not the products you want near you, you just give us a ring, and I guarantee you'll talk to a real person. And we'll make a real effort to make sure that happens.
Thank you again so much, Justin. It's been a huge pleasure.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thanks to both of you. You're doing a real service to our community and others. I appreciate it.
Do you wish you could find delicious yogurt without loads of sugar and artificial flavors? Or maybe a cheese that knocks your socks off? Check out Trader's Point Creamery, Indiana's first certified organic dairy farm. Their products are available nationwide, and you can discover the 100% grass-fed difference. Nourish your life with their delicious milks, yogurts, and cheeses. Alex and I very much enjoy their whole milk yogurt, and we've tried their chocolate milk, which is to die for. Check out TradersPointCreamery.com to discover where products can be purchased in your area. If you're here in Indianapolis, you can also dine at The Loft Restaurant and Dairy Bar, where they've brought your table to the farm. Enjoy your meal in their 1860s barn with views of the cheese cave and beautiful farm. You can also visit the animals and even watch the evening cow milking, which Alex and I have done as well, or attend one of their events such as Summer Fridays on the Farm, which are going on now through the end of August. Check out their website for more details, traderspointcreamery.com.
So there are a million different varieties of yogurt out there. Greek yogurt, non-Greek yogurt, plain, whole milk, 2%, zero, skim, grass-fed, not grass-fed, not to mention all the add-ins and flavors and everything else. There's a lot of choice in yogurt these days.
Too much, I think.
When we're making recipes for the blog, we use a lot of Greek yogurt. We like the whole milk yogurt generally because it has a lot more flavor. We're not too afraid of those fats. We try to eat good fats in moderation.
Fats are good for you now.
I do love some good grass-fed yogurt. You had some this spring in California and it kind of blew your mind.
I did. I'd never really tried to taste test the difference. And I had a grass-fed version and I don't know, it just tasted so earthy and not like grass, but you could definitely tell there was something different, something intriguing about the taste versus a just standard run-of-the-mill yogurt.
And if you go listen to our interview with Drew Ramsey a few episodes ago, you will hear about how grass-fed yogurt might be good for your mood as well.
If you want to check out that episode, I believe it was called 50 Shades of Brain Food.
That's right.
Right. So I eat quite a bit of yogurt, I would say. Actually, you probably eat more than I do, Alex.
I do eat a lot of yogurt.
So we wanted to share just a really simple way to eat grass-fed yogurt or organic yogurt where you can really taste the difference. So generally, we'll buy plain yogurt, non-flavored, and add just a little bit of sweetener. We like to use maple syrup or honey and just do that. Don't feel like you need to measure. Just kind of drizzle a little bit in and taste it. Add a little more if you need it. And then you can add in your mix-ins, so fresh berries, chopped nuts, granola.
Now, what if you're wanting to be just slightly more fancy and planning ahead? What would you do?
Sure. So this summer, I've really been taking usually about a pint of berries and put them in a skillet with some maple syrup and then a little bit of balsamic vinegar to just really bring out a tart note, make those berries sparkle. And I saute that for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, wait until the berries break down and get a little bit saucy, and then cool that down and put that over yogurt. It is delicious.
That is really good. And you can make it into a parfait. You can make it the night before and eat it in the morning for breakfast. And it feels really fancy without any work at all.
Right. And it actually keeps pretty well in the refrigerator too, I've found. So you can actually make up those parfaits and keep them for a couple days. The flavor gets even better. We actually don't have a recipe for that, so you'll just have to take our word for it. But I will place links for the other two recipes we mentioned, the Greek salad and the roasted tomato grilled cheese, in the show notes for this episode.
And before we go, we do have a giveaway from Trader's Point Creamery.
Hooray, giveaway!
A little care package of their fine dairy products, so go over to acouplecookspodcast.com and click on this episode and enter a comment to win.
As always, Alex will ask a fun, engaging question. So even if you don't want to enter the giveaway, you can always go over to the podcast page and see what we're discussing. That's acouplecookspodcast.com. That's our show for today. We hope you've enjoyed it. We'll catch you next episode.
Bye.